Hello, lovely people. Episode 23. So today it was my first time in the studio again after 14 days in quarantine. Because first the boys having corona, then me, and then my husband. So I'm glad I'm in my studio back again. And today I record my online workshop interior photography for my Lucy membership. So this month, February, is the topic interior photography. If you want to join, hop over to mylucy.com. There you can find all the information and you can step in whenever you want. And actually, you can see my Lucy membership as a library full of videos and content about styling and photography, not only about food photography, but also about other topics. But today I have a special guest, and it's Rachel from Two Love Studio. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me, Lucy. Welcome back to the studio.
Yeah, it's so nice you're joining this podcast. Maybe you can introduce the listeners about yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So my name is Rachel Koronek. I'm a professional food photographer. I have been photographing now for 10 years, which is still crazy to me. I remember it like yesterday when I started. So I'm Australian, but I currently live in Canada. So I've been very lucky to be able to have a business in Australia and work for Australian clients, but also clients in North America, you know, and also the light is different in the Southern Hemisphere to the Northern Hemisphere. So those little things have really helped me in my journey on the photographer that I am today. So as well as doing food photography, I was a trained teacher. So I also have an educational side of my business where I teach people food photography. And one of my biggest passions is editing. So I teach editing in Lightroom, Photoshop, and Capture One, all the programs, because I love it so much.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so great to hear, because we met once. I think it's...
It was 2019.
Oh yes,
yes. It was lovely, and you helped us out with a workshop we were doing. It was just so valuable to have someone on the ground to help us out, and we came to your studio in Brooklyn, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was great because I arranged a location in Utrecht here in Holland, and you and Bea Lipas,
which is beautiful, by the way. If people haven't been, definitely put it on your list.
Yeah. And you gave a great workshop with all students from different countries. That was also great to see.
Yeah, and, it was fun. It's definitely fun.
Yeah, were two lovely days. Good memories. But my first question to you was, how did you start with food photography? When was the moment, okay, I will be a food photographer.
Well, I think food photography is one of those weird things where you don't actually realize that it's a niche of photography, and people are still surprised that it is a niche, even though, you know, we go to the grocery store all the time and we see photos everywhere, every day of food. I didn't know it was a niche, and it was really, I was in a space where I was studying at university. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do when I left. And I was with my now husband, and we were traveling in a camper van around Southern Australia. We just happened to go into a bookshop one day, and he found this book called Plate to Pixel by Helen Desjardin, which most of everybody will know.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is a thing. And just this passion inside me, like I could feel this thing burning that was like, wow, there's something to this. So that was like the first time I realized that food photography was something in terms of like a photography niche. And then I just felt like I just wanted to explore it. So that's really how I sort of fell into it. But I had no intention of becoming like a professional photographer. I just wanted a creative outlet, and this was what it seemed to be. So that's just sort of how I fell into it at the time.
And then you practice a lot and you made your portfolio.
Yeah, so back then that was like 10 years ago. And so I was studying online to be a high school teacher, and I was doing my degree via correspondence. So I was living a couple of hours away from friends. I was living with my parents at the time. So, I mean, I didn't necessarily have a lot of time because I was studying, but like all my free time I spent taking photos, and I took photos almost every day for the first year. And then every other day, probably for the year after that. So I practiced a lot because I just loved it so much. And Instagram didn't have a huge presence back then. So it was really doing it for me, putting it on the blog, connecting with people, you know, through the way that we did on WordPress back in the day.
So you already started your blog then?
Yeah, I decided to start a blog to just document my journey because I was like, I just wanted to put it out there somewhere.
Yeah.
So I just practice every day. And I was extremely lucky that my dad was a photographer. And so I borrowed my first camera and lens from him, which was nice. So I had a good crop sensor camera and access to good lenses. So that was really fortunate. And I was able to practice a lot from the get-go.
Great. Yeah. So yeah, I do recognize you when you're telling photographing every day, because I also did it when I just started, but now I'm not photographing.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
It's so funny to hear. And then how did you got your first assignment? How did it work out?
I think my very, very first paid photography jobs weren't all food. I think I did things like take photos of people's kids or a friend's daughter's engagement or an event. And I think when people know that you are into photography, everybody needs photos of something. So they sort of like share with people, oh, I know this person, I know this person. And even before that was before Instagram was a big thing. So you didn't necessarily have access to as many photographers. So that's sort of how I started getting paid work. And but I think my first ever food client found me on Google Images.
Oh, yeah?
Probably because I had all this blog stuff that I'd been putting out there. And so they found this image. I don't even remember what the image was, but then when they looked me up, it was like, oh, I was in the same city as them. So that's sort of how they found me. Some people might think it's lucky, but the one thing I've learned over 10 years of business is that you have to be actively doing things every day to be lucky, to put yourself in that space to be lucky, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally agree, because I also started with blogging when I just started out with food photography. And I didn't have any assignments in the beginning, of course. I still had another part-time job and three little kids. Also a job, by the way. But
yes.
So I started blogging, I think, like 3 blogs per week. But now I'm still, clients found me through Google, through my blog post, all blog posts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's the advantage of blogging already in the time
of putting your images out there. Definitely. And I think the one thing about Instagram is that you can't necessarily Google an image that is going to show up that's on Instagram because of the way the platform runs. So having an external place where you also put photos can really help. Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's amazing. Like I searched for a bundt cake recipe this week, and 2 of my images from my portfolio came up. There's not even a recipe attached to it, but they came up somehow in that, which is always funny.
Yeah. And I don't know how long, I'm thinking about it now, how long Pinterest exists. I really don't know. But lots of people also find me through Pinterest.
Through Pinterest, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's probably been around for like the 10-year mark as well. I think when I was first starting, I remember having an image on Pinterest going somewhat viral for me.
Yeah.
Probably back in 2013, maybe. So that got a lot of traction to my blog, but it wasn't people looking for a food photographer. It was just people who wanted to like make that thing that I made. So
yeah. The recipe, yeah. Okay, yeah, great. Yeah, I can't talk enough about blogging and stuff like that because you are saying I'm not only lucky because you really had to work hard for it. And I do recognize it, and you still have to work hard for it. And but now I also have the feeling it will pay off all the hard work you're doing, because your
finding exactly.
is great. Also, I also see you a lot of Pinterest or because how you blog a lot also. How many times do you blog?
I wouldn't say that I've been that consistent on the blog. But one thing that does keep me there is that I really do love writing. And I love writing blog posts, even though my high school English teacher would probably fall off her chair because I was terrible at it at school. And I can't believe that I like writing that much when I used to be so terrible at it. So I definitely, sometimes I will also do like projects, like I did a lens series. So there's like different ways that you can blog, and depending on what your core business is, like, you know, food bloggers obviously need to have a better blogging strategy than I do, but I tend to try to have quality posts over quantity. One of the reasons is because when I started, there wasn't really anything about food photography online. There was definitely like entry level beginner stuff, but you couldn't really find anything beyond that. So that's something that's always stuck with me, is sharing things that I've learned along the way that can help people that people weren't necessarily writing about. So I try to make sure that my posts fall into those categories over just creating content that's the same stuff that you would find everywhere.
I think that's a very, really good move. Yeah, and you're
Thank
also
you.
yeah. But I really love your blog posts. They're full of knowledge, and you're not keeping knowledge behind or stuff like that.
Mm.
And of course, maybe you do like a sale offer or stuff like that. But that's entrepreneurship. But I think it's really, I really appreciate that you're sharing lots of knowledge in a blog post.
Thank you. Yeah, because I really think there were so many things that could have helped me. When I first started, even people sharing their journey of, you know, how difficult it is to be a photographer, or how much of creativity mindset is involved in that, you know, or how much props are going to cost and how long, and, you know, it takes forever to get a prop collection, you know, or even just sharing with people great resources, like backgrounds are one of those things where until you get them on set in light,
yeah.
I've made so many wrong purchases. So being able to share things with the community just really helps all of us.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I also see, I don't know if you see it also like this, that your blog is your thing, because
like a space, my little space online to hang out.
I'm not
and
a
play.
Writer even, but I really like to write blog posts, but it's in my kind of language. It's I'm not a writer, but I really like to share my knowledge.
Yes, and your voice, and it's a fun way for me to create. I know not everybody enjoys it, but I do like the ability in my business to be able to create in different ways. So for me, it's not just about taking photos. There are different ways to create, like writing or resources, you know, or just you know, even thinking about concepts and bringing all the pieces together before you take the shot. Like, there's so many different ways that we could create.
Yeah. And then came Instagram. How did that start for you?
Instagram was a slow burn for me. I think there's many reasons for that. I think one thing I did back in the day was I used to have the white borders around everything, which when the algorithm was different, my work really didn't get shared a lot. So I didn't get a lot of exposure. So it was always just a slow thing. But I've never really cared too much about like the numbers. It was always about putting my best work out there and then connecting with people.
Yeah.
So I think that's always more rewarding because the numbers can come and go, but yeah, connecting with people in our community lasts a long time. And I've been able to put myself in front of brands and show them what I can do. So it's been really good in that respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Instagram is changing too, you know, so yeah. I don't know what the next phase of that will be.
And what do you think has changed?
Well, I think that they're trying to prioritize video and be an entertainment platform.
Yeah.
You know, like there's value in that sort of content as well, but it's just going to be different. And as a photographer, I can definitely get into video if I want to, but I also want to take photos. So like, where is the space for those people? And the people that want to see photos, because like, I don't necessarily want to see people dancing all the time. Like that's why I don't have a TikTok account, because I want to connect in a different way to see like a different art form, you know? So I think that's going to be an interesting thing. And like, as a side note, I listened to a podcast about actors were talking about comedy movies are actually struggling because people are getting their entertainment from social media and TikTok. So it's not just affecting like photographers, it's affecting other niches as well. So it's just going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I'm not sure if I'm the expert that knows what's going to happen.
No, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think a week ago you posted an Instagram post, a very honest Instagram post. And if I'm correct, you thought about it a while before you posted it. I just felt all the effect in the community.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Could you tell the listeners who didn't saw your post about it?
Yeah. Yeah, so because I've been shooting for 10 years now, I've been thinking about my journey for the last 6 months. And it's not that I want to look at the less positive side of things. And I do, it's not that I don't want to celebrate successes, but I think if I look back at my journey, the thing that stands out for me the most is that it was hard and I had a lot of setbacks. And so I don't ever expect anyone to pay attention to my journey. You know, it's hard to see all the ins and outs if from the outside, from social media. And then some people might have just found me last year and wasn't around 10 years ago. So it's really hard for people to know exactly what that journey was. And then I faced nearly 5 years of setbacks before I felt like I found my feet. So I think it's important to share that. Because I think I have a responsibility to do that as well. And I just, it really worries me that somebody might quit if they thought my journey was easy, you know, like, or if their journey looks different to mine, you know, because there's a lot of mindset things that go like, you know, maybe people think that they're just not good enough because it didn't happen easily, or, you know, maybe this is never going to happen for me because 5 years later, I'm still floundering. And I definitely felt like that. My journey wasn't easy. I didn't quit one day and then things just work out. I had to work for 5 years on and off with setbacks from life or mindset or pressure. And I think I did that because I really just wanted to have this thing in my life that I loved. And what I hear from the community is that people think it's either all or nothing, that you have to be a full-time photographer or you can't be. And there's so many possibilities in between.
Yeah.
And I've been through all of them. And I think it's okay to make your journey unique to you,
yeah,
and to try not to compare to other people. And I know that's very hard because I do that as well. You know, we're always comparing ourselves because that's what it is to be human. And it took me a long time to share that because I, you know, like it's vulnerable and I didn't want people to judge me or to think, you know, it was what I was sharing was self-indulgent as well.
Yeah, well, I think you're great at the like the openness, you know, like honesty and just being open and honest about your journey.
Mm.
And that opens lots of people's eyes, I think.
And yeah, well, thank you for the support, Lucy. It means a lot, yeah. Because it's a bit scary.
Yeah, I know. Because I think 6 months ago, I was also like in a kind of shift, because I also worked very hard from in the morning to the evening with photography assignments full time. And somehow I was thinking I'm tired all the time, and from home I still have got my email and then it's great to have lots of assignments, but I also want to get energy from my work.
Yes.
So suddenly I have to admit for myself, well, maybe I won't do every assignment, only the assignment where I become really happy from. And those assignments are mostly where I get a lot of freedom.
Yes.
Where I feel no pressure. But I only talked about it in my podcast because I was talking alone or sometimes with someone else. But I didn't write it down on Instagram or in a newsletter or stuff like that, because I was thinking, oh no, it can't be. I can't say it out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you did, because I think sharing these things, it also makes me feel better that, you know, okay, it's not just me. Maybe there's not something wrong with me. Maybe it's normal. So that, I think it really helps. It helps all of us. And, you know, things can look really glamorous from the outside, but you just never know what's happening for that person. And I think for myself, it has been hard to work. It's been hard to create a business, is what I should say. It takes a lot of your time. I'm very lucky that my husband is also a photographer, so he understands, you know, but there are times, there are sacrifices where you might not be able to hang out with friends, or you're working weekends or nights. And I just got to a point where I found like I had no balance. And that's one thing I've been very terrible at this whole time. And I don't think that's very successful. You know, I think defining what success is for me is what's going to make me feel joy and happy and purpose in my business. So working a lot, you know, like we create a business because we want to do what we love and have flexibility, but then you can also just grind yourself into like a 9-to-5 situation, working all the time and not having any of the benefits that come with it. So it does take a while to be able to get to that point where you have flexibility to do that as well. But I sometimes think, why am I running a business if I'm not going to take a month off or do this or like travel, or, you know, because I have the flexibilities and time just goes so quickly as well. So really defining like, is working a little bit less for you and having personal projects, does that mean success? Or there's just so many different ways to define it. So I'm really hoping to talk about it so that people can define what that is for themselves, rather than the social, you know, this is what success is.
Yeah. And just what you said before, like the job of a food photographer, it's not for everyone the same. You have to find your own path. So
yes.
I also got help from a coach, and he was saying, well, I think you want to have more Lucy time, because I'm a happy person when I'm going to style here in my photo studio, just freestyling, just go back to the basics. In the meantime, of course, I'm making video for my reels, okay? It's not an assignment. It's just creating, just being creative. And I think it's also one of the points that you can allow it to yourself to plan it in your agenda and or a calendar and say no to other things, because you have to plan these kind of things.
Yeah, it is difficult because freelance is just, it's a hard life. You don't necessarily know where your next paycheck's going to come from. Clients come and go. You can have steady clients and then things change, or, you know, the market changes for whatever reason, Instagram pivots and then this is gone, or Google changes an algorithm and then that source of income is gone. So it's not easy. And I do understand that people want to take every job because you don't know what it's going to be like a month, a year, 2 years. But one thing that I have also found is that if you're not paying attention, or if you're like so focused on one thing and you get tired or your creativity goes, because that definitely happens, you know, you find yourself in this spot where it's like, now I need to have time to try something different. So,
yeah,
you know, like I can preach balance all I want, but I'm terrible at it. So it's just something I'm continually trying to work on, making mistakes and maybe sharing with so that others don't do that as well.
Yes, and you also offer online courses, because a food photography job is not only making assignments. You can choose to make online courses like we do. But when did you start actually with online courses?
It would have been in 2017 was my first one. And a lot of people don't know is that I was an accountant, and then I became a teacher. And so I'm an accountant teacher turned photographer. So I've been really lucky in my life that I've taught in different settings in, you know, like high schools or in summer camps. And the reason that I did a teaching degree was that I loved those settings. I loved sharing things with people. But working in a school wasn't for me at the time. So I don't think I plan to sort of come back to teaching in any sort of calculated way. It's just, it ended up finding me that I had this idea that I wanted to share more in-depth trainings with people. And I went through a period where I got really burnt out and I had to take time off. And I read this book just before that time called Big Magic. And
yeah, I read it.
By Elizabeth Gilbert. And she said that, you know, an idea is not going to wait around for you forever. You know, if you don't make it, it might go to somebody else. So I really wanted to make this thing, and I'd read her story. And then I went through this period of burnout and I was like, I have to do this for myself. I have to create this thing. And I had no expectations. I didn't care what necessarily happened. I just knew I wanted to create it. So that's how that kind of came full circle. And I think I'm very lucky to be able to have that teaching aspect in my life with something that I really love to get nitty gritty on, which is photography. So I started a Lightroom course in 2017.
Yes, and you also have Composition Essentials, right?
Yeah, so Composition, and then I teach Lightroom, Photoshop, Capture One.
Yeah. Yeah, Capture One is the last one, right?
Yes, for the editing. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not going to teach everything, because I choose to teach things that I feel like I'm very knowledgeable at. So, yeah. I mean, I love artificial lighting, but I don't know it well enough to like put my stamp on it to say like I know it so well that I can teach it in depth, because it's a huge subject. So
yeah, I followed your online course Essentials. I really love it, and
thank you.
I love the behind the scenes settings. So the online courses, and did you have any help with the setup of the online courses? Because I know now that it's not just putting an online course hop on your website and it will sell. No, it's a sell page.
Yeah, that's
it's a whole business beside that.
Well, that's one of the things, whether it's like courses or your own photography, is that you also have to be a business owner, and you have to know how to run a business, and then you have to know about marketing. And you know, that's a skill in itself.
Yeah.
So there's definitely things you have to learn. And I think people don't necessarily know, but I did do an ebook years ago with a friend that I just thought it would sell itself, because we were like, you know, this is really great. We made it. It's amazing. And then I think we sold like 5 copies, and that was like it. And I had no idea how to market something, you know. And when it didn't do very well, I was like, well, it's obviously because I'm not good at this, or I'm not supposed to be doing this.
Yeah.
So those are skills that you have to learn. You have to find a place to learn how to do those things for sure. which is the downside of, you know, like a lot of us just want to take photos and be creative, but there is a marketing side that we have to learn as well.
Yes, and especially I think if you want to do online services or selling ebooks or stuff like that, because you're also having an ebook, right? About lightning.
Yeah, so I did do a light. It's called Art of Light, and I think I did that in 2018, maybe. So, yeah, that was my second ebook. So I definitely learned a lot from the first experience. But I think one thing it goes to show, like, if you really want to do something, then you should do it. And it might not necessarily go the way you expect, but if you really go in with something like, I'm going to create and I don't have expectations, I think sometimes we just need to create those things for us. Like, it can be amazing where it can take you.
Yeah. Yeah. And my opinion is also, if you don't do it, you don't know how it will works out or how it will, which way it will go.
It's just like a photo, you know, it's, I'm shooting bunk cakes at the moment and I've had to do it a couple of times, you know, because once you cut it open and you ice it, like, it's done, you can't go back. So there are some times where we can do things again and again before, you know, we start to see the results that we want.
Suddenly I got the image from you in my head when you were stayed in Utrecht. We met also, and there was like a window with shutters. And I don't know, you made a very lovely picture.
Oh, that was in Italy, I think you were talking about after.
Oh.
Yes. It was at an Airbnb.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was just like you saw it. I don't know why I'm thinking of it, but.
I think, yeah, that was interesting because if you ever tried to photograph in an Airbnb with no props, it's. Yeah. Of course, very challenging, but it's also incredible that you can find a few things.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know why I was thinking of maybe because if you don't try out things, you know, and this is also one example.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. Just have a look. So I was wondering actually two questions, but maybe it's one question. I don't know. What are your plans for the new year, or how do you see yourself in about 2 years? So maybe, I don't know if you already.
I used to be very calculated with my goals and the things I wanted to do. It's very interesting that at the end of 2019, I decided to take things easier in 2020. And then obviously the pandemic hit and then we were all forced to do that in a way.
Yeah.
And we're still really living through that. But I've, at the moment, I'm sort of just living quarter to quarter. And for at the time of recording this, for about the last 9 months, I've really noticed that my creativity has been drained. And it is hard. Like we don't have the same access to the things that used to fill our cup as we did prior to the pandemic. And I know it's different in every country and it's different for every person too. So one thing that I've always done is like pushed through these creative blocks.
Yeah.
But this time it felt different and I felt like I just needed to respect it a little bit. But now it's been long enough that I'm like, I need to try something different. So when spring rolls around, I think that's a good time to get invigorated and try something different. So I don't actually know what the plan for that is yet, but my plan is to try to explore something different and work out what it is about creativity that's not working for me at the moment. Like, am I bored with my style? Is this just how you feel after 10 years? Or do I want to try something different? Or do I need to try a different, you know, something just for me personally? So that's sort of what I'm looking at in the short term. I've also, you know, been doing this for 10 years. And I was like, should I take a little bit of time off? So I'm not sure what the answers are to those questions. Sometimes just asking yourself a question and not answering it, the answer will come to you is what I found. In terms of 2 years, I don't know. I don't even know, you know, like where we want to live eventually, like as our place. We sort of have been moving around a little bit. So I would say between 5 and 10 years, I knew what I was going to be doing each year or even 2 years, but I currently don't feel like that. So I'm going to leave it open to sort of see where that takes me.
Well, it also sounds like you got more rest or stuff like, or maybe.
Well, I would like more rest. I currently don't have more rest, but I would, again, is like coming back to that. One, why did I start a business? And two, I am my own boss. Can I be a little bit more flexible? And honestly, taking a month off is not going to destroy your business. And if it does, then you've probably got other problems. And like taking time off doesn't mean that I'm not going to show up anywhere, but maybe it's like I'm going to say no to projects so I can do my own stuff, or saying yes to personal things and just building those in. So like time off, again, it's not black and white. It's not all or nothing. It can be different for different people.
Yes, exactly. And when you're saying no to some assignments, it will open other doors. It's like cliche, but it really does. And it's really hard to say no. It really is.
It is hard.
It's very difficult. And I think very easy, but it isn't.
What one thing for those people that are listening who are like, no is hard and it's scary. I used to feel like that. And one thing, and it does take time, but you start to trust yourself. You start to trust that you can make the right choices and that things often do work out. They don't necessarily work out in a day or in a month or in a year, but over time, you know, I used to get really upset when people, like I would speak to photo agents or creative directors, and like they would tell me sometimes that the things I wanted to achieve would take 2 years, and I would cry and I would be like, I need money now. I need a job now. I need clients now. I can't wait 2 years. So that used to really like worry me because I thought I couldn't stick it out. So that sort of taught me that it's like, it's the long-term game that you have to be looking out for. The work you do today is going to set you up for the long-term game as well. So just that trust will come with some time. And then you start to realize, you know, I can schedule some time to do the things I want to do and not things won't fall apart.
No, it's true.
If I had a year off, it might be different, but like, you know, a couple of weeks to 3 months is probably going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm very curious what the future will.
Me too. Yeah.
Yes, such a lovely conversation. And also very open again.
Thank you.
I want to thank you very much because I think it's important that people, and especially about in our community, can be open about certain things. That's why I also started a podcast to share the knowledge and experiences. And especially to people just starting out the business as a food photographer. So thank you so much, Rachel.
Thank you for having me, Lucy. It's been amazing. And I know that we've met in person, we've connected, and I've always just admired your drive. And, you know, you have kids as well, and you make all these things that you want happen. So it's really nice that you can also share your journey and the things that you've gone through to help people as well. So it's been wonderful to chat to you today.
Yes, thank you so much. Well, lovely people, where can they find you, Rachel?
Mainly they can find me, I have a website, a blog, Two Loves Studio. So you can find all my blogs there and then links to courses or ebooks. I'm also on Instagram at Two Loves Studio. So those are the two main places that I hang out.
Great. Of course, dear listeners, I will share it in the show notes underneath so you can press on it and follow Rachel. Thank you so much, Rachel, and to the next podcast.
Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you.